You see, it's one thing when we praise God when the music's going, and I love to praise God. I love music. I love that in the book of Psalms it talks about praise him with the timbrel and dance and on the loud sounding cymbal. But I think, hallelujah, when we praise the God, when we praise God out of a testimony, when we praise God of where he's brought us from, I'm telling you that praise and that worship, oh, it gets the attention of God and miracles begin to take place. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now, in the name of Jesus, I release the miraculous in this place. I release faith in this house. I wonder if you can begin to magnify the Lord because he's good, because his mercy endureth forever. Woo. God have mercy. We got to have a church. We got to be a people that can dance in our prayer closet and can dance in the pew. We got to have a people that can worship in the street and worship when everybody else is worshiping. He deserves our best praise tonight. He deserves our best praise tonight. As you're turning to 2 Samuel chapter 11, I want to give honor to your pastor, First Lady, and their family. I appreciate the invitation to preach. I appreciate the leadership that you all have here, First Pentecostal Church of Beaufort. How many love your leadership? How many love your pastor? How many love your First Lady? Thank you, Jesus. I give honor to Bishop and Sister Copeland tonight. I want to give honor to my wife and children in their absence tonight. I've married a praying woman, and she is praying for this service, for us to have a move of God tonight. And I love her and my four children. We were so honored and so excited to be here that we decided to go ahead and spend 12 years of marriage here. Our anniversary is on the 11th. And so this is a very special time. I give her honor today. I give this congregation honor today. I just want to let you know that I don't believe in warm-up phases. You all don't know me, and I don't know you. But I've already preached twice today, and I'm warmed up. 2 Samuel chapter 11, the first verse, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass at evening tide, that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon." 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7. The Bible says, "And Nathan said to David, 'Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house, and thy master's wife into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover had given unto thee such and such things.'" Drop down to verse 13. We're going to jump a little bit here. And the Bible says, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die." Verse 20. "Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat." Just a few more verses of scripture for your consideration. Psalm 51. Seventh verse, Psalm 51 and 7. A psalmist written by the same hand, David, says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, and the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Pay attention to the last verse. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. I really want to help somebody tonight. I want to help a few folks tonight. I feel a burden for this service tonight. So with the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to preach from this title, The Restoration of Tarnished Joy. Restoration of Tarnished Joy. Place your Bibles to the side, your phones, whatever you're using to read. I wonder if we can lift our hands in this room right now. And let's ask God to help us. God, I thank you, Lord, for the people of God that are gathered here in your name. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that every individual in this place, under the sound of my voice, oh God, would open up their heart unto you, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh God, that there would be a mighty move of your spirit in this place, and every person, oh God, hallelujah, under the sound of my voice, hallelujah, would feel your presence rush into this place. I pray that your spirit, oh God, would be a changing spirit, a heart-changing spirit, a mind-changing spirit. Oh God, a restorative spirit in this place, Lord. I pray, oh God, you give us the victory over the adversary tonight, Lord, and we'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, for it's due your name tonight. And we seal it in the wonderful, matchless name, the only saving name. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we all must be saved. We seal it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I also want to give honor to Brother and Sister Hall. I appreciate their kindness and for their accommodations for me right now. Throughout the years of David, we see David is anointed by Samuel. We see he has fought giants. He spends time in war. He spends time fleeing King Saul. We see him conquering areas of interest. He's anointed over Judah and Israel. 1 Samuel 13 and 14, the Bible says that Samuel begins the process of stripping King Saul of his kingship by telling him that the Lord had sought him a man after his own heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18, the Bible talks about David. As he's being anointed king, the Spirit of the Lord departed from King Saul and ascended unto the new king, King David. The Bible says that he was cunning in playing and a mighty, valiant man, a man of war and prudent in matters. He was a comely person, and the Lord is with him. I don't know about you tonight. All those attributes sound great, but the last hallelujah rings out to me. No matter what I do, I want the Lord to be with me. I want it to be said. I want it to be said that in the rough times, the Lord was with him. Hallelujah. When he was on the mountaintop, the Lord was with him. Hallelujah. When his family was cutting up and acting crazy, the Lord was still with him. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, we see that David danced as he brought in the Ark of the Covenant, which was the presence of God. David, no doubt, had many responsibilities. No doubt he had many life experiences, both good and bad. Somebody say, David was busy. He was a busy, anointed man of God. But somewhere along the way in our text tonight, we see that he laid his weaponry down in an idle moment. It wasn't in a season of peace, but according to scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 11, that it was when kings go to battle. I don't know about you, but when I read that text and it says kings go to battle, I automatically assume that kings are armed. Oh, God. But it was in that moment, in that idle season, that David laid down his weaponry. He laid down the very thing that he had mastered. He laid down the sword in the time that he was supposed to be going into charge and leading, hallelujah, the children of Israel into battle. But in that moment, he took the night off. And it's sad to say, so many times in Pentecost, we get excited about the music. We get excited about the dancing. We get excited about the preaching. But Monday rolls around and some of us just seem to take the day off. I want to remind somebody in this place, because I feel that this church has such rich heritage. And I know I'm not preaching anything you've never heard before, but let me serve as a reminder tonight, hallelujah, that this is not a cruise ship, but this is a warship. This life is not, it's not meant for you and I to cruise on through, but it's meant for us, hallelujah, to be, to be diligent and fighting the good fight of faith. This life is the best life, hallelujah. This life is the best life, but it's not going to be good to you if you live for God easily. No, I'm preaching tonight that you and I have got to stay armed. This life was never meant to take days off. You can have a day off on your job. You can have a day off at school. But living for God, there are no days off. God have mercy. It was in that moment that David's strength should have been on display, but his weakness entertained the idleness. So we understand he fails. He plots. He sets up his brother in arms to be killed. And a child is conceived. And the prophet Nathan is given a word from God as he confronts David and points to him and says, "Thou art the man." David had already tried by his own means to get rid and cover up his failure. But when the word of God and the man of God acknowledged his failure, David did not run. David did not make excuses. David didn't try to tell a roundabout story just to make himself look good. But the Bible says David repented. And I don't want to get so caught. I don't want to get so called away, hallelujah, in church culture that I forget to preach the original message. Repent, 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 and turn from your wicked ways. David, he repented. He repented, and he recognized his failure. He recognized his need for a savior. No doubt, after that failure, every time he would wander on that balcony, it was different. It wasn't looking at his kingdom anymore. It wasn't looking at the beauty anymore, but now he's reminded of his failure every time he came. Every time he came to that balcony, "I've repented. God has forgiven me, but this will never be the same. This place will never be the same." And I want to tell somebody, I've already said it once today, but I got to say it again. In this place, you need to understand that if you feel condemnation in the house of God, that's the wrong spirit. Because there is therefore no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You're in the house of God. There's no condemnation. But rather there's a voice of conviction, hallelujah, that's reaching for you. There's a voice, hallelujah, of a heavenly father that says, "Hey, baby, I know you messed up," just like a father should to a child, just like a mother would to a baby, and would say, "Hey, I know you slipped up. I know you messed up, and you shouldn't have been watching that, and you shouldn't have been listening to that, and you shouldn't have been involved in that. But I forgive you, and you're better than that. You can come a little higher. I'm not turning my back on you, but I'm calling you to a place of repentance because I love you."
I want to tell somebody that's looking through the lens, hallelujah, of how you were raised, and your mom and dad turned their back on you, and your family forsook you. I want to expose the lie of hell tonight, that you don't need to look at the eternal Savior that way. You don't need to look at the Heavenly Father that way. No matter how far you are, He's looking for you. He's longing for you to come back home. God. The devil's a liar. You're not too far gone.
Jesus. Jesus.
You're looking at somebody that went through a season of backsliding. I was raised on a pew, but you're looking at somebody that found themselves selling crack cocaine. You're looking at somebody that would have walked up to your window and stuck a gun in your face and told you to give me everything that you had. But the mercy of God came calling for me. The mercy of God. That's why I'm grateful tonight.
How dare we get to a place and a point where we forget about the mercy of God. And let me just go ahead, because I hear it right now. Let me go ahead and just shut up the devil once and for all tonight. You want to know one of the greatest testimonies? It's not one of an individual that was raised in the house of God to go out and try to make your own testimony. One of the greatest testimonies you can have is I was born in, I was raised in, and I stayed in. You ain't got to prove yourself to hell. You don't have to prove yourself to this world. You live in a separated life. You praying and seeking the mind and will of God is a testimony enough. You are not missing anything. This is the best life. I'm not looking over my shoulder to see if a police officer is there anymore. I'm looking over my shoulder to see if I've got a dance partner, to see if I got a praise partner.
Jesus. Jesus.
There's something beautiful that happens in repentance. We have a beautiful example of David when he repented of his failure, of his sin. There's a new song that comes in his spirit. It's Psalm 51 and 7 as he pens, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." What a beautiful song. What a beautiful song of repentance instead of the constant thumping of condemnation. You need to understand tonight, I'm reaching for somebody right now. You might have messed up hours before this service tonight, and God wants to, He wants to pen a new song in you right now. But you got to understand something. David didn't pen a psalm about the one that enticed him. He didn't pen a song about what she did wrong. He wasn't pointing the finger at, "Well, Lord, if you wouldn't have made me this way, I wouldn't have looked on her that way. And Lord, you know what's inside of me. I'm a man." I'm sorry, I like to be down here. But he said, "Create in me a clean heart. Because I'm the one with the heart condition." Create in me a clean heart.
Don't just stop there, but renew a right spirit within me, because I'm the one that messed up. And I, what would happen if the people of God would take on responsibility, slip up, mess up, and get back up and say, I've got a new song. Pastor, I might have messed up yesterday, but there's a new song ringing. It's a song of repentance. It's a song of redemption. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And when that happens, when your heart is created afresh and your spirit is renewed, you know what happens? You never go to the balcony without a weapon. When your heart is clean and your spirit is right, your hand hangs onto the hilt of the sword rather than how far can I get away with this. How close to the edge can I get without falling? The fact that you're already on the ledge means you've fallen enough. But if I keep my hand on the weapon, I won't stand on the peripheral of failure. If I keep my hand on the weapon, I won't stand on the cusp of backsliding. I'm going somewhere tonight. You stay with me. If I keep my hand on the weapon, secular music won't sound so good to me. If I keep my face, in the carpet and pray, Snapchat won't appeal to me. Private DMs won't appeal to me. If I pray hand in hand with my spouse, there's no room for Delilah to slip her hand in my marriage. God have mercy. God have mercy. There's people in this place, I feel a burden right now. The hospital is open and the surgeon's willing to work on your heart. The master physician is willing to create in you a clean heart and renew a right spirit within you. But you and I, we're living in an age, hallelujah, where nobody wants to take responsibility for any action. It's always somebody else's fault. But in the house of God, it is not so. You're going to have to take responsibility and realize. Amen. And realize that we serve a God that said, if you trade me your burden, my yoke is light. If you trade, he's in the business of currency trading. He's willing to trade you, hallelujah, beauty for ashes, hallelujah. That sin is nothing but ashes. That failure is nothing but ashes. That addiction is nothing but ashes. But if you'll come to the master, he'll trade you beauty. He'll turn your story around. He'll turn your life around. If you're in this place and you're a backslider, and let me preface it with this. People think backsliders are the ones that just went wayward. I dare say, and I hope nobody takes it the wrong way, but you're a degree of backsliding when you don't feel like praying and you don't. It's just the first step. That's the truth. When you're on that cell phone late at night, you hadn't even clicked on the website yet. You just covered up your head. God have mercy.
when that number comes across your phone and you respond and then you delete it. God, I hope I'm all right, Brother Copeland. When you made a pit stop before coming home to the wife and kids, there's something that's wrong there. And God sent this preacher tonight, and I'm not trying to pound on anybody. I'm just throwing you a lifeline. When he looks good and he wants to FaceTime, and he doesn't wait for you to put clothes on, God, the Holy Ghost is reaching for somebody tonight. This is not to expose you. This is to expose sin. Because God doesn't take pleasure in exposing you, but sin does. And so David has a new song. And the last part of that scripture, Psalm 51 and 12, is what I'm preaching tonight for the backslider. The Bible says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." I started looking up restoration and what that means. If you go to a museum, those things that are left tarnished, those things that are in a glass case that you look upon, yeah, they may have a price tag on them as valuable because they've been left untouched and in their original state. But there's something that stuck out to me as I began to study the restoration process. Things that have the greatest value are those things that are restored to its original use. What are you talking about, preacher? It's like that 1950 whatever model car that is in pristine condition. There's just a few things we can tweak here and there. We can restore the paint on it. We can restore some of the mirrors. We can get some old parts, some of the old original parts, and put it back on it. But the restoration process means nothing until you turn the key to that engine. Because it's more valuable when you're able to put it back on the road than watching it and looking at it in a museum. I'm telling the backslider tonight that you're more valuable with your hands raised. You're more valuable with your mouth open, giving God praise. You're more valuable with the worship in your spirit. You're more valuable, hallelujah. You're more valuable when you've got a dance back in your shoes. You're more valuable when you're back in the Sunday school department teaching kids. That's where your value lies. It doesn't lie in your repentance and wasting away on a pew. But no, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And the joy that you once felt, it's tarnished. God. It's tarnished, but it's not destroyed. It might have a little rust on it, but God looks at it and says, there's still value in that. If you'll let me, I'll restore the joy of my salvation. Hear this preacher tonight. You don't need to be healed if you're going to go to hell whole. You don't need another position on the job if it's going to cause you to lose your family. You don't need more money if it's going to, oh God, if it's going to bring you more problems. But one thing this preacher can tell you, what you do need is the restoration of just sheer joy that I'm saved.
If you don't have anything to praise the Lord for, that's enough. If he doesn't give you a raise, the fact that you're saved is enough to give him praise. Come on, if he doesn't give you the car that you want, hallelujah, and he doesn't answer that little need of yours, you can still give him honor and praise because he picked you up out of the muck and mire. He put his name on you in baptism. He filled you with his spirit. We run over the miracles when our blind eyes are open and people get up out of wheelchairs. We get excited about it and hang from the chandeliers. But what happened to just rejoicing because I'm saved? My grandmother, growing up, my grandmother, she would pray every morning. Every morning. She did not miss it. We knew that when you came downstairs and you heard her moaning in prayer, leave her alone. But there were a few times we'd come downstairs. She'd be in the middle of that living room shouting. She'd be shouting. Dancing all by herself, no music, just rejoicing. And I took it for granted when I was younger, but now I realize, I said, Granny, what's wrong? What happened? Did you get a check in the mail? You always say, do you got McDonald's money? Well, you got McDonald's money, right? Oh, see, some of y'all. Why are you dancing? Get a good report from the doctor? No. Open up the blinds. Is there a new car out there? No. What are you dancing for, Granny? She said, baby, I'm just dancing because I'm saved. I wish that would transfer from one generation to the next. And we wouldn't have to preach against TikTok. We wouldn't have to preach against pornography. We wouldn't have to preach against the addiction. If there was a young generation that would just get that restoration of joy and say, just the fact that I'm not strung out, just the fact that I'm not a prostitute, just the fact that I'm not addicted and bound, he deserves my best praise. Come on, I wonder if you can just take a moment right now and begin to give God some praise just on the sheer fact that you're saved. What about in the balcony? Come on. What about in the back pews? Come on. Just the fact that you've got the Holy Ghost is enough to give God praise. Just the fact that you've been born of the water and of the Spirit is enough to give God praise. Come on. I'm telling you, there's something about a breakthrough that wants to happen right now. But some of you are holding back. Some of you, hallelujah, have forgotten where God has brought you from. Some of you aren't too sure of where you should be tonight. But I'm going to give you a moment to think about it and let that testimony resonate on the outside. Come on, backslider. It's time for you to get back on the dance floor. Come on, backslider. It's time for you to knock off the tarnish. It's time for you to knock off the rust and get into the presence of God. You want to know how restoration starts? It starts with movement. Come on, restoration, the process starts when somebody applies pressure and they begin to move. Maybe you've been rusted for too long. It's time for you to move and lift your hands up one more time. Maybe you've been rusted and tarnished for so long that you don't even know if you have a voice anymore. But I dare you, just begin to give God praise with the fruit of your lips and begin to say, Jesus, I love you. If you're willing to restore me, I'm willing to yield myself to it. If you're willing to knock off the rust, I'm gonna let you do it. Come on, I wonder if it's appropriate if you can get your neighbor's hand right now and just begin to pray for him. Hallelujah. Just begin to pray for him. Some of you got some backslidden kids in this house. Some of you got some backslidden children. Hallelujah. They're just riding the wave of Pentecost. I dare you to get their hand and begin to move them a little bit and say, it's time for you to be restored. It's time for you to be restored. Hey, I know you mess up. I know you stepped out on your marriage. I know you turned your back on God. You turned your back on the church. But God's willing to restore you. 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 Come on, go for it. Go for it. Come on, pray, pray, pray. Come on, you're not too far gone. You didn't mess up too much this time. Come on, hallelujah. The Spirit of God is calling you because he's got a plan. The Spirit of God is calling you because he's got a purpose. Come on, pray, 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 pray. Come on, you're not too far gone. Come on. Come on, mercy can reach further than you'll ever go. Mercy can reach further than you'll ever go. Come on, I need that joy. I need the joy of living for you back. I need the joy of living for you, God. I need it back. I need the joy. I need that joy back. Come on. There's something that happens that's special when you get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, there's joy, there's peace, there's righteousness. All these are in the Holy Ghost. When you receive that gift, you don't have to worry about depression because there's power that comes with the Holy Ghost. You don't have to worry about oppression because there's power against the devices of the adversary. If you want the Holy Ghost, you can have it, but it's going to take you getting a spirit of David and repenting and turning away. Come on, you don't need the cigarettes anymore. You don't need a shot glass anymore. You don't need a blunt anymore. Come on, you don't need a needle. You don't need the pill bottle. Come on, you don't need another relationship that's going to break your heart. You need Jesus. Come on, it's the joy. If I just have the joy of thy salvation, it'll sustain you. If you just have the joy, it'll keep you. If you just have the joy. Come on, give me joy. Give me joy. Come on, give me the joy of thy salvation.
That's restoration, that's good.